So Duryodhana could not see that what Shakuni was doing was to his detriment, whereas Dhritarashtra could see but chose not to act on it. Dhritarashtra had some amount of moral sense within him. For Dhritarashtra, his moral sense was almost entirely dead end. So he felt that actually Shakuni is like a mentor for me. What I want to achieve, Shakuni is giving me ideas how to do it. Whereas for Dhritarashtra, his primary desire was that I want my son to become the king. And I want my son to be happy. So whatever it takes, I'll do it. But he had an ethical sense. So basically, now when we have attachment, how much that attachment blinds us, how much it blurs or blinds our ethical sense, that depends most importantly on our own basic consciousness. So for example, there are some doctors, while they are doing the medical profession, they may sometimes prescribe some extra tests so that they can get some commissions from those who are doing the tests and they can earn some more money. That is, you could say, at one level exploiting a patient. But there are some doctors who, now everybody wants money. Some people may get it ethically, some people may push some ethical limits. But how far? Some people may just ask the patient to do some more tests. Some doctors may go to the extent that they may complicate a patient's disease so that the patient keeps coming to me. Some doctors may go in worse and they may steal a patient's organs. So, now what determines this? It is not just the temptation, it is also one's innate constitution. We are all an ongoing product of our past. Basically, our actions are determined by four broad factors. Shri Gauranitai Bhagavan ki Jai. So our actions are determined by four broad factors. One is our past karma, which creates samskaras, which creates impressions in our mind. And in modern science, sometimes this is said our genes. Different people are genetically predisposed in particular ways. So we are prompted to act in particular. Sometimes parents may have two children and one child may be like gentle, nice, and other child may just be noisy, crying, domineering. So that's just the same parents, but the souls are different. Souls have different samskaras coming from previous lives. So our past impressions is the first thing. Second is our upbringing. If children grow up seeing their parents smoking and drinking, for them it becomes a normal part of their life. If they see their parents going to temples and doing some holy activities, then also they probably prompted to do that. Now all these, when you say these shape our actions, they don't determine our actions. They prompt us in particular directions. Our past impressions, our upbringing. Third is our association. Somebody may be in very pure upbringing, but if they associate with people who are into bad habits, they themselves develop bad habits. So beyond these is our free will. Our free will is prompted or pushed by these three factors. But it is we who choose. And of course, the ultimate transformative principle is Krishna's mercy. By Krishna's mercy, the effects, negative effects of our past impressions, our upbringing, our association, all of them can be countered. But broadly speaking, when we make a choice, based on our free will as well as our impressions, our upbringing, our association. So Duryodhana in the Mahabharata describes was actually he was like an incarnation of Kali. He was a person who was meant to bring about Kalaha, bring about conflict. In fact, later on in the Mahabharata it said that the Daityas and the Danavas, the ungodly demoniac beings, they performed great sacrifices because they wanted to take over the earth. And they performed sacrifices, and through their the fruit of their sacrifice, Duryodhana was born. So in that sense, Duryodhana had an evil disposition within him coming from the past. So along with that, he had his upbringing, which was not evil, but which is pampered. Dhritarashtra's upbringing was more of deprived. Not so much. He was also in the royal family, but he's not exactly pampered. So Dhritarashtra was not exactly being poisoned by Shakuni. See, traditional societies are quite hierarchical. So Shakuni, in a sense, was at a subordinate position to Dhritarashtra. So he could not influence Dhritarashtra, but he could influence Shakuni. Sorry, he could influence Duryodhana. So in all three ways, you know, from the past impressions, from the upbringing, and from the association, Duryodhana had many things going bad for him. And that's why Duryodhana's conscience was desensitized. Dhritarashtra, on the other hand, was attached. So Duryodhana could not even see that I am doing something wrong. In fact, later on, when the sages try to chastise him for acting so viciously, he comes up with various rationalizations. He says at one point that even after great introspection, I don't see anything wrong in what I have done. And then he says, I have simply acted according to my nature. If anyone is to be blamed, then the creator who made my nature should be blamed. We'll discuss this argument more tomorrow. But the point here is that he was desensitized completely. But Dhritarashtra was not so desensitized, and that's why Dhritarashtra could feel the pinch of conscience, because his upbringing was better. He had the good association of Vidura, he had the good association of Bhishma also. So that's why he eventually was redeemed. Eventually, when Vidura enlightenment, he was redeemed. But Duryodhana was incorrigible. Okay? Thank you.